everybody. My name is Keith, and I'm an alcoholic. Keith. And my home group is the Wednesday Night Big Book Study Group. My sobriety date is July 15, 2003. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to the newcomer to let you know that it is possible to stay sober, no matter what. So tonight, like Mike said, we're talking about step two. And, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I think when Bill wrote the steps, and I believe it was God, like God inspired, but when he wrote the steps, like the guy just read how it works, and that's in chapter 5 of the big book. So before you get to chapter 5, there's like the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, and two other chapters about the first step, which is there's a solution, and more about alcoholism. And then there's we agnostics. But for me to understand step two, or to even have a chance at step two, I have to understand step one. Like, I talked about my insanity last week and my mindset when I got here. And if I don't understand what I'm dealing with, there's no way I'm going to search this God thing. Like, for me, when I got here, I didn't want nothing to do with God. Like, I was praying there's another way besides the God thing. And so Bill knew. I mean, like, I was doing step work with a guy last night, and it hit me like, man, he could have did the doctor's opinion. And did the doctor's opinion and said, you know, we have an allergy to the body. I got that. You know, when people told me I was an alcoholic before, like I said last week, I had no idea what they were talking about. But I read that doctor's opinion and it made sense to me. Obsession of the mind. I got that. All the times I went out and said I wasn't going to do this or that, or I was only going to spend $20, that made sense to me. So right there, he explains what my problem is. So he could have went from that, then into Bill's story, like I talked about last week, like, when I first did the steps, I wanted to skip Bill's story because I didn't see how an old white man from the 20s, why do I got to study that? You know what I mean? Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this thing. But he knew, man. Like, he knew me before I knew myself. And reading Bill's story, you know, I related to the bottoms. I related to the progression of the disease. Like, that fit me. So I got that. So then he could have said, okay, I gave him the problem. I gave him my experience with it. So let me go into how it works. But Bill didn't do that. Bill knew us. He knew us. I mean, he knew. Like, he knew, I'll speak for myself. He knew me. Because I'm very hard-headed. I'm very stubborn. So he talks about, and there's a solution, you know. He gives us a solution, but he talks about the problem even more. And there's a couple things in the first, there's a solution that stood out to me. Now, I could sit up here and read the book to you verse by verse, but that wouldn't do anything. You know what I mean? It'd be like boring, like me just sitting here reading the book to you. So I'm going to incorporate my experience with the steps. And like I said, I had to understand step one. Like you hear war stories. Like you're sitting in this room, you get it, man. You get that the progression, it kept happening. Like you stop, you go to treatment, you go to rehab, it gets better for a little bit. You might be abstinent for like 90 days. And I use the word abstinent because there's a big distinction between recovery and sobriety and abstinence. So we come back. You know, and the day would come where the thought would come in my head that it'd be a good idea. Like, it wasn't that bad out there. Or nobody will know. I'm going to take the edge off tonight and I'll come back to AA tomorrow. For me, this God thing, like in my story, 3 DUIs, right? 3 DUIs and I didn't kill anybody. My geographical cures. All the things that had me do what I did up until I was 35 years old, I come to believe that there was a God looking out for me even when I didn't know he was looking out for me. I talked about this lady Lorna last week, who was an angel in my life and who brought me to the program. Not an alcoholic, but God put this woman in my life. And I still didn't believe, you know what I mean? So here I am standing before you guys, 10 years sober today, and that wasn't going to happen. My life today was not supposed to happen given who I was when I got here. So it says, and there's a solution, you know, in the first paragraph, nearly all have recovered from this disease. So Bill, he's setting it up for us, man. He's setting it up with the 3 chapters I talked about. Because again, I'm hard-headed when I get here. I don't think I have a problem. The principle behind the first step is honesty. Like, to thine own self be true. And you hear people say, you know, go hear your story at a speaker meeting. Or go listen for your story. And I've heard my story many times, but I've always minimized it, like I said last week, because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. So we come in here, you know, and at every meeting, we're ready how it works. And last week, I asked you guys, who in here knew somebody that had died as a direct result of drugs and alcohol? And pretty much everybody's hand went up. But what about the people, if I ask this question, don't raise your hand, how many of us know people that relapse from this disease? Right? Lots of people. Now, the disease and the solution talks about, in every other aspect of my life, my mind is sane. It's normal. Like, I don't do stupid stuff that I know is going to hurt me. But when it comes to drinking and drugs, I'm crazy. Like, I forget what happened to me. For instance, let's say you're scared of the water, and they're going to have an AA dance or whatever at the beach. And you go to the beach. You being scared of the water, you're not going to go swimming in that water. You're just not going to do it because you know you're going to drown. Right? Same thinking when it comes to that. But I'm an alcoholic. I've been struggling for years with this thing. I've had the program laid out for me. I come in, I think I know what I need to do. And then somewhere along the line, I get the thought in my head that it'll be okay to take a drink. Now, why don't I react to drinking it like I do the ocean? Right? Any sane person would do that. But not me. You know, this disease wants me dead. You hear that a lot from the podium. It wants me dead. Even though I'm 10 years sober, I still have the allergy of the body. Like, I'm going to die with the allergy of the body. It's going to be with me to the day I die. But the obsession has been removed. I don't remember what the drink did to me. I mean, I should say, I do remember what the drink did to me, not what it did for me. So I recoil from it as a hot flame. So we talk about step one. And again, very important that you go through this book with somebody who knows what's going on. Now, I knew a guy, and like I said about the relapse, I knew a guy who had been in prison like his whole adult life. And he got out of prison and he went to the Lamb of God, you know, and I guess down in Florida you guys have this thing called the three-strike rule or the point system or whatever. So now this guy gets out and he is one more conviction or one more arrest and he's going to jail for life, basically, right? Any sane person looking at that kind of circumstances or consequences would say, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to get arrested again. Well, this guy got out, went to the Lamb of God, came down to Solution Sober House. He had 2 years sober, doing the deal, man, doing the deal, sponsoring guys, in touch with his sponsor, doing the deal. Then he started compromising, right? Thought it'd be a good idea to start messing around with hookers. Nobody will know. You know, I'm 2 years sober. It's not a newcomer. Let me get my lust issues taken care of. Then he started going and stealing TVs or whatever, like breaking and entering and stuff. Coming back to the house and saying, you know, these are donations from people or whatever, like 10 of them. All the signs are there. Like, we know that he's relapsed, but in his mind, he thinks he's covering up. So the dude gets arrested, right? 51 years old, 2 years sober, doing the deal. But something that happened to him where he went back and thought it'd be a good idea, right? So now this guy is doing 30 years in prison. 30 years. Imagine, 55 years old doing 30, that's pretty much a life sentence, right? That's what's waiting for us. And it just boggles my mind. So I come into Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And you tell me, all right, Keith, here's the deal. We got a plan. We got a book that tells you how to recover from a hopeless state of mind and body. And my cry when I got here was, Joe, I'll do anything. Anything you tell me. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that when I first got here, I did everything right, because I didn't. For 6 months, I'm in the halfway house, and I'm the same person. I'm just not drinking, if that makes sense to you people. I'm doing everything but not drinking. I'm not working. I'm going down to the 101 club every day, looking at Moe's girls. Yeah. Mustang Sally, she's not here anymore. I'm lusting. I'm not doing the steps. I'm not doing anything. And I'm starting to get restless, irritable, and discontent, right? And so this goes on for 6 months, and nothing's changed though, and I don't feel any different. I'm hanging on like Russell says, and I'm ready to go drink. I'm ready. I'm almost there. And I'm about to get kicked out of the halfway house this one Friday, and again, here comes God. Like, I've had God, like little signs of God all over the place, but I never recognized it as such. I know it today what it was, but God had John Williams show up this one Friday, which he's never there. And I told you about it last week, and that's when I had my spiritual experience, like my awakening, so to speak. Not spiritual, but my awakening to where I shifted, where I recommitted. I talked about that last week, where you can recommit at any time, no matter where you are right now in your program. And I recommitted, so I dove all in. But when I dove in, again, I had to understand the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Bill hit it so hard. Like, he hits it so hard where he's teeing it up, what's coming next in step two. But he felt it so important that he gave us three chapters plus the doctor's opinion plus the agnostic on this. And so a lot of meetings you go to, you hear more about alcoholism. Again, he's pounding it into my head that if I don't understand what I'm up against, why would I seek God, right? If anything like me, there's got to be another way besides the God thing. Like 90 and 90. Easier, softer way. I get it. And last week I sat up here and I kept a couple times I said meeting makers don't make it. And, you know, I don't want to be that person that sounds like I'm egotistical or I'm looking down on that type of recovery, because I'm not. And Peter talked about it when he spoke last time. Because I would be very judgmental about people like that who's giving that message. Meeting makers make it, and just don't drink and go to meetings and 90 and 90. Listen, when I'm new, maybe that's all I can do. I got it, crystal clear. So I'm not going to sit up here and judge that type of recovery. But I will tell you this, from my experience, the way I used to drink and the way I used to drug, me going to 90 meetings in 90 days would not expel the obsession to drink and drug. Once I understand this first step, I know there's no human solution. I know this how, because I've tried. I've stopped many a times. When I was in jail for those three DUIs, I've been stopped for 90 days. Hell, and the first thing I did when I got out is I went and drank. The first thing I did, not the second, not call mom, I'm out, none of that. Let's go to the bar. Let's celebrate me being out. So I'm going to try not to bash meeting makers, so to speak. Anyway, so Bill wrote, again, more about alcoholism. This is after the doctor's opinion. This is after his story. This is after the solution. So he's already hit you upside the head a couple of times about where this is going. Now, more about alcoholism, he says, and you hear it all the time. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, presently maybe, has to be smashed. Listen to the words he's using. That delusion, illusion. Like, if I come in here and I start drinking today, I can't drink on the truth. I cannot drink on the truth. The truth is, when I drink, bad things happen. I like to get behind the wheel of a car. I do bad things when I drink. That's the truth. But I'll tell myself a lie. Like, you know, whatever the lie is, it's a lie. So, then he goes on to say, and more about alcoholism, one second. It says, if you are seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there's no middle-of-the-road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible, and we had passed into a region from which there is no return through human aid. That's Bill saying that, not me, right? So I'm getting all this stuff from him. I'm getting, you know, what it's going to take. And the book tells me, if I don't think I have this thing, not, no amount of speakers you're going to hear, no amount of my, what I'm telling you, Peter, Joe, Russell, anybody, your sponsor, if you don't think you have this thing, then you're just wasting your time in here right now. That was my experience. Because I should have been in AA a long time ago. I should have been in here years ago, but I wasn't ready. And for the grace of God, I didn't come in and get contaminated. By that, I mean I didn't come in here and go through a lot of treatment centers, and I didn't go through a lot of halfway houses. I came in at 35, a beaten and broken man. And so I have to get to this God thing, and he's pounding that into my head, and I'm like, man, I just don't want to do it. And step two says, came to believe, like, it's not telling me that I have to believe right this second. Because when we in Gnostics, it says, do I not believe, or am I at least willing to believe? right? If I sat up here and told you I believed right away when I got here, I'd be lying to you because I didn't believe at all. I just know my last 24 hours out there in that hotel room on Northwest 31st Street, I wanted to die. Literally wanted to die. Like I told you last week, I was such a coward that I couldn't kill myself. That would have been the easier, softer way for me at the time. But I prayed to God. See, God, before I got here and got serious about recovery, God was a bellhop. He was like a cosmic bellhop. He was like a Santa Claus, you know. Get me out of this, I won't do it again. And he got me out of him, and I did it again. And again, and again, and again. So I'm sitting here, and I'm sitting in front of you, and I'm sober, right? And I don't take credit for that. And I tell you that because I've seen people get sober through the process and start patting themselves on the back, right? Once I got into the deal, and we covered step one, and they beat me upside the head with step one, then we talk about we agnostics. This is the chapter Bill wrote for the alcoholic, I'll say for me, to challenge my belief system. Because again, I talked about it last week. When I got here, I had a certain belief about church, religion, God, all that crap. I was made to go to church on Sundays until I was like 16, 6 hours at a time. Got my grandmother and her friends passing out, talking in tongues and stuff, and I'm like, man, these people are crazy. And then I come from the 80s, and I talked about it last week, where you got three people who I judge the whole religious sect on. Tammy Faye Baker, Jimmy Baker, and Jimmy Swagger. So now I got all this stuff up in my head, and I come in here with this disease about, I got to choose, right? And I'm hardwired when I get here. I'm hardwired. And again, step one is all about surrender. I didn't want to surrender. I didn't want to be an alcoholic. I didn't want to be one of you. But I'm dying. So I was in. And, you know, I read the agnostics. And in that chapter, man, it challenged all my belief systems, everything. And again, when I read that, I didn't believe right away, man. I still didn't believe. I still wasn't with the God thing. I still thought I could beat the game. I still thought there was a way around this thing without God. Let's get to the steps. Forget about the God. Stop talking to me about God. Stop talking to me about that. Let's just get to the work. But it says he either is, or he's either everything or he's nothing. What's your choice to be? And I got right into it. Because again, he's teeing it up for me. He's teeing it up. So let me know what's going to take. It's going to take this relationship I'm supposed to build with the God of my understanding. Now, here I am in the sober house, 35 years old. My attitudes start creeping back in. You know, I got 35 years of thought that the doctor screen tells me I must have an entire psychic change unless there's very little hope for my recovery. How do I get that? Step two, right? The opening of the door to this thing. So I come in and I'm sitting there with my sponsor and we read Agnostics together and I'm starting to see where Bill's going with this. Because if I come in here and I'm closed mind to this thing about the God thing, if I'm closed mind at all, if I have any reservations about this thing, I'm going to go back out and I'm going to relapse again. And we've seen it. So we agnostic says, and we talked about this last week, in the preceding chapters you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope you have made such a clear distinction between the alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Because again, I believe there's a lot of hard drinkers in AA where they're sponsoring people with, you know, stay away from that book. You don't need a spiritual experience, you don't need a spiritual awakening, you know. The fellowship will keep you sober. Dances will keep you sober. I'm 25 years sober. I never picked up the big book. That's not what my book tells me. So it says, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. That's the first question. Or if when drinking, you have little control of the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Bill keeps hitting me upside the head with this thing. upside the head. And I don't want it. Not at all. So it says on page 45, lack of power, that was my dilemma. I had to find a power in myself, greater than myself, which I can live, and it had to be a power greater than myself, obviously, but where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is all about. And again, I don't have to figure it out when I get here, man. I have to just surrender. I have to be open to it, and I have to surrender. Now, during my journey, again, I take my will back all the time. But it talks about a lot in the agnostic, our prejudice. And that's my old attitude, ideas, and beliefs about God. And it took a lot for me to break that wall down. You know, my sponsor, you know, took me through this work, and I got sober. And so I come in, and I'm up here rambling, but give me a minute. So we get to how it works. I'm sorry. And how it works is read at every meeting. You know, rarely have I seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed this path. And then we get to the back of it. Now, I'm not going to reread how it works, but we get to the back of how it works. And then it talks about our description of the alcoholic. Again, he's hitting me upside the head with it. He's the one to make sure I got everything that they're talking about in this. So it says, A, we are alcoholic and cannot manage our own lives. Does that live for me? Do I get that? And I'm hitting it upside the head because I don't know. I want you to understand how important it is that you get step one. Because until I get step one, I can't move on. Then it says B, that probably no human power could ever leave me of my alcoholism. I got that crystal clear. Before I got here, you know, talked about last week, Judge Beach couldn't do it. Joe couldn't do it. My mom couldn't do it. You know, no frothy emotional appeal. None of the, Keith, can't you do it for your mom? Can't you do it for your job? Can't you do it for her? You know, if you got kids, can you do it for them? None of that was going to work, you know. And we've all had that from our loved ones. We've all had that emotional, please, can you stop? And nothing worked. No amount of treatment centers did it. But then C says that God couldn't win if he were sought. Being convinced we were at step three. I wasn't convinced. I wasn't convinced for 6 months. I wasn't convinced. And it took what it took for me to get here. And I stand before you, a recovered, sober man, by the grace of God. And I'm lost. See, I don't want to sit up here and ramble and give you a bunch of head. By that I meant from my head. That didn't come out right. Like, I'm very passionate about this thing, and I know what I want to say, and I know how I want to say it, but I'm hitting a blank spot, so I'm just going to deviate from this and just tell you about my experience with this program. Like, with the God thing, your last three speakers before me, and I think Garrett was before Russell, they all talk, you know, they're all godly men. Like, you can hear it in them, you can see it in them. And I don't, and sometimes for a newcomer to hear them, people talk like that, it scares you, right? It scares you away. And if you know me, you know that's not me. You know I don't walk around with the Bible. You know I don't, I can't quote you script and Bible and verse. But I can tell you, through my experience with this thing, is that coming to believe is a process. Like, I didn't come in here all amped up about the thing, and I get here and like doing this right here. Like, I never imagined me coming up here doing a step series because I don't like doing this. not at all. But I feel that there's some people out there that can relate to me because, again, nothing against our past couple speakers, but I'm just like you. I'm just like the newcomer sitting in the back right now struggling. I'm just like the newcomer who you hear step one last week. You hear me talk about step one now. You see me up here fumbling and like, God can't be working in him. But he is working in me. And so when I talk to you, when I'm speaking right now, I'm trying not to worry about what it looks like. You know, I was back there praying with Allie before the meeting, and my prayer to God was, please, remove the hesitation, remove the fear, because I would never pray before. Before I'd come up here, and I'd just spit some stuff and ramble and hope to sound good and hope to land it. But I'm trying not to have it scripted. I'm trying not to have it rehearsed, and I'm trying not to care what you think about me. See, the people in the front, you know, they know me, and I'm trying to reach the guy in the back, the people here that are here from treatment. And so that's my hope and my prayer. But anyway, so I'm sitting up here, I'm recovered. And don't take what I'm saying or how I'm being tonight as a show of how this program works and how God works. Because God, he definitely works. I'm just not doing a good job tonight.
You're doing good.
But no. But, and before I would have never told you that. I would have never admitted that. Like, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you I'm sucking up here. But God's got my back. You know. But, yeah, so if you're new and we talk about step two, like, the first two steps is only reflection. Like, I come to a conclusion in step one. I come to a conclusion in step two. I've really done nothing yet. I've just surrendered. I said, I can't do this anymore. And in step two, I'm just saying, listen, the way I'm running my life sucks. Like, I need a new employer. I need a new director. And when you first get here, I speak for myself. When I first got here, my director was my sponsor. I had to go to him, and he had to teach me how to live. And of course, we had to work the steps, but in doing so, I had to obey, right? I had to become obedient. Same thing with God. I had to become obedient. But my sponsor, you know, and that's a hard thing for me when I got here, because, you know, went to the Marines, that's all macho crap, and me being a man, that's all macho crap. So I had to surrender to, and the first person I surrendered to was my sponsor. And then they talk about surrendering to God. So I did that. And I'm going to kill you for making me do this. But I just know for me that coming to believe was not an easy proposition. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you it is, that I try to do that and step through on a daily basis. Like, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him is not an easy thing. But if I'm an alcoholic or a drug addict, I get that I'm no good at running the show. I get that when I take my will back, life becomes a mess. And so God, for me, does things that is indeed truly miraculous. For me to be sitting up here in front of you 10 years later, without any interruption in that sobriety, is a miracle, right? And I give him all the credit, but I had to participate in my recovery. right? I had to participate. I had to come in here beaten and broken enough to say, I don't know. I had to be humbled enough to ask somebody for help, which I never did before I got here. You know, I wore a lot of masks. And then for me to submit or come to believe in a power greater than myself, this God thing, that took a long time. So I'm 4 years sober when I expound on my my God awareness, so to speak. And I'm still hardwired after 4 years. You know, God has gotten me sober up until this point. I haven't had a drink in 4 years. I'm sponsoring guys. I'm doing a deal. But I don't think I believed wholeheartedly. Like, I wasn't all in, if that makes sense. Because it was brought to my attention, like, you know, my best friend goes to church every Sunday. And the church isn't for everybody. There's different ways to seek this power. There's different ways to seek this God thing. But he comes to me one day at the 101 club. I think Russell was doing the steps. And it was Easter Sunday. And he says, I'm going to church, Calvary, when it was at Lockhart Stadium. Do you want to go? And I said, no. I'm not going to church. But I'm still living in the past. I'm still seeing the preachers from the past. I'm still seeing my grandma and them talking in tongues. So I'm not going. And I'm adamantly not going with Joe. That was on a Friday. So Saturday comes to me again. You want to go to church? Nope. Not going. So this went on for like 5 days. So then the next Friday comes before the service and he gets in my face, like literally right up in my face. And he has some choice words for me about not going to church. And I wanted to like choke Joe, right? Because I don't see it yet. You know, I'm in my head. I'm sober. I'm doing the deal. I'm sponsoring guys. But I'm taking credit for it. You know what I mean? And he saw that. He saw me like slacking off, so to speak, in my spiritual walk. So he gets in my face and we come to like loud words. And my buddy is there. Buddy named Mark E. And we go to the casino. So I'm hanging with this guy who keeps relapsing. I'm character assassinating Joe. And Mark's buying my dude. He's like feeding me this shit. Like, Joe's an a-hole, and who is Joe? And I had a moment of clarity. I'm like, okay, here's a man with 8 years sober or whatever, and here's a guy who can't stop smoking crack, and I'm listening to this guy. I'm at a casino. I said, take me home, bro. And I went into Joe's office, and I told him, man, I said, man, I owe you an amends because I was character assassinating you with Mark, and I was calling you every name in the book. And I said, I'm open to going to church. I'm not committing anything. I'll go. And I went, and it's a funny thing. Like, that Sunday, it was like he was at Solutions, and the message he was giving was all about what had just happened. And I've been going ever since. Like, that's my deal on Sundays. And I sit up here, and I'm trying, you know, again, I'm new to this speaking thing. Not speaking, but step series. And I want the newcomer to know that I know the book. Don't get me wrong. And like I said, I can sit up here and if I read it to you, I can explain what it's saying to you. I'm trying to give you my experience with it. And, the God thing did not come easy, but you got to make a choice, because Bill's teeing it up for you. You got to make a choice. If this is your third treatment center, if you've been struggling along in this thing, think about this. We just celebrated Thanksgiving last Thursday, right? This is the holidays, and the holidays is not a good time for drug addict and alcoholic, especially in treatment or struggling. But what kind of gift would it be for you to give your family, yourself, then the gift of recovery? What kind of gift would that be? So you're at this fork in the road. You're at the crossroads right now. You know, if you've been coming to this meeting for the last couple of speakers, you know we're at the crossroads. We're getting ready to make that decision. We're getting ready at the fork in the road. I got door number one. I got death, destruction, DUIs, I got more treatment centers, more halfway houses. I won't be lucky enough to die from this thing. I'm going to live through it. Or you got door number two, which is the promises, which is total freedom, recovery. When I say freedom, I mean freedom from the drugs and alcohol. Like your mind, you won't think about what it did for you. So what's your choice going to be? And for a long time, I'd sat there and I'd say, well, how long do I gotta think about it, you know? For me, sometimes I like living in the muckety muck. I like the drama. And God's nowhere in that when I'm living in that. And I know this. But I'm not going to ramble on anymore, and I promise I'll be more prepared better, so to speak, next week. But God bless.